Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 2, Divinity and Divine Service. Let us just see what verse we will read. Okay. Oops. Let us read text 10. Kamasya nindriya pritir labho jiveta yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yas cheha karmabhi. Translation. Can you hear? Okay. Come a bit closer up so I don't have to strain my voice. Oh, okay. Yes, very good. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's works. Purport by Srila Prabhupada. The completely bewildered material civilization is wrongly directed towards the fulfillment of desires and sense gratification. In such civilization, in all spheres of life, the ultimate end is sense gratification. In politics, social service, altruism, philanthropy, and ultimately in religion or even in salvation, the very same tint of sense gratification is ever increasingly predominant. In the political field, the leaders of men fight with one another to fulfill their personal sense gratification. The voters adore the so-called leaders only when they promise sense gratification. As soon as the voters are dissatisfied in their own sense satisfaction, they dethrone the leaders. The leaders must always disappoint the voters by not satisfying their senses. The same is applicable in all other fields. No one is serious about the problems of life. Even those who are on the path of salvation desire to become one with the absolute truth and desire to commit spiritual suicide for sense gratification. But the Bhagavatam says that one should not live for sense gratification. One should satisfy the senses only in so much as required for self-preservation and not for sense gratification, because the body is made of senses which also require a certain amount of satisfaction. There are regulative directions for satisfaction of such senses, but the senses are not meant for unrestricted enjoyment. For example, marriage or the combination of a man with a woman is necessary for progeny, but it is not meant for sense enjoyment. In the absence of voluntary restraint, there is propaganda for family planning. But foolish men do not know that family planning is automatically executed as soon as there is search after the absolute truth. seekers of the absolute truth are never allured by unnecessary engagements and sense gratification, because the serious students seeking the absolute truth are always overwhelmed with the work of researching the truth. In every sphere of life, therefore, the ultimate end must be seeking after the absolute truth. And that sort of engagement will make one happy, because you'll be less engaged in varieties of sense gratification. And what that absolute truth is explained as follows. Well, we'll read as follows tomorrow. Kamasya nendriya pritir labo jiveti yavata jivasya tatva jigyasa narto yas cheha karmabhi. Life's desires should never be directed towards sense gratification. One should desire only a healthy life or self-preservation, since a human being is meant for inquiry about the absolute truth. Nothing else should be the goal of one's words. Namaha Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutaleshya Bhaktivedanta Swaminiti Namane Namaste Saraswati Devi Gaura Vani Pracharne Nera Vishesha Shunyavadi Pastrityade Chitarne Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadaya Shivasavi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Vanchakapatarubhyaschakrita sindhubhyeva chapatitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. So we are in the second chapter of the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and just like the second chapter of Bhagavad Gita, chapter of Bhagavad Gita is titled the summary of the contents, and it is basically doing that. It is informing us briefly what is going to be discussed through the whole literature. And similarly, here in Srimad Bhagavatam, the second chapter of the first canto is describing the subject matter of the whole Srimad Bhagavatam. So in this chapter then we find many verses which are making very definitive statements about the material world, about devotional service, about the value of Krishna consciousness, about how valueless is material life, material activity. This is the nature of this chapter. And as we saw, this is very clearly the nature of this verse. It is very explicitly, very clearly pointing out the hopelessness of material life, and in very simple foundational terms explaining what human life is meant for and what human life is not meant for. So in this way it's very clear and giving us, as we said, it is very foundational. So it is giving us a strong platform of knowledge based on which, standing on which, we can develop our lives onto higher levels through the process of devotional service, free from any entanglements in this material world. So here, then, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada is making the point that material civilization is so misdirected and so bewildered They are completely convinced that what is this life for? What is it intended for? What is it designed for? And just what is it all about? The sum and substance, the total, from beginning to end, from top to bottom, from one side to the other. What is material life all about? It is all about sense gratification. We are these bodies. That is what we are. These bodies are made of senses. The senses get some stimulation when they contact the sense objects. That stimulation of the senses in contact with the sense objects gives some type of pleasure. So our whole life should be directed for that. Yes. So whatever they're doing, the idea is sense gratification. Whatever it is, the end result is this should help us enjoy more. Whatever it is. And therefore, in the purport, Srila Prabhupada says, social service, serving the people, altruism, helping the people who are not doing so well materially, or helping the material nature, helping the animals, or helping anybody who's not, or anything which is not so well off. It should be for the purpose of our sense gratification. And ultimately, religion, worship of God, it should be done. What is it all about? It is all about how it can provide us with more gratification of our senses, and even ultimately salvation, liberation, getting out of the material world and escaping the entanglements of this material world. What is that about? That is also about how we can get some higher enjoyment. That's all. So whatever aspect of life there is, it is all about increasing our sense gratification. Which, of course, in fact, life is not all about. It is not for that. That is simply foolishness, and it is simply an idea which will lead inevitably and unavoidably to frustration and dissatisfaction. So it's all pathetic. It's all hopeless. In the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point, well, he applies this principle in regard to politics. In regard to politics. We find, for example, in many countries in South Africa where I'm based, the previous government was giving sense gratification to just a small portion of the community who were generally very happy with that. But the great majority of the community were not. They were not getting sense gratification. Rather, they were being abused. So that larger portion, they uprose. They had revolution. And they kicked out the other group. And, of course, in one sense, it's very noble sounding. the majority are being exploited and abused by some very, like, unfair majority who are just very corrupt and nasty. So the abused majority kick out the nasty people for the benefit of the masses. And so they did that. Sounds good. But in due course of time, it became clear that the new group, the revolutionaries, they were not able to gratify the senses of everyone as much as everyone wanted. But rather, life continued to be very difficult, but just in different ways. So in due course of time, they will also be kicked out. In due course of time. Because the material nature is like that. You cannot just make nice arrangements for sense gratification, and so people just enjoy and so on and so forth forever. You cannot do that. The material nature does not work in that way. Sooner or later it will backfire. There will be economic crisis. There will be health crises. There will be security crises. All sorts of problems will arise, and the people will not be able to deal with them. And then some other group will come along and say, "Don't worry, we'll solve all your problems for you." They will become the government. And then eventually they'll be kicked out. That is how this material nature works. Srila Prabhupada applies the same principle in regards to religion. What is religion to most people? To most people, religion means how we will get enjoyment, sense gratification, by praying to God in some way. But material nature, as we said, it is designed in such a way that you cannot just get endless sense gratification. So even the people who are practicing religion to enjoy, eventually they'll become dissatisfied with their religion. And in this way, Christians become Hindus or Muslims, Hindus and Muslims become Christians, and Buddhists become whatever it is. This is going on. And even ultimately they get the idea that this material world is difficult, we should get out of it. Liberation, salvation. So they may even go to the Brahma Jyoti, but even there they're not satisfied. And they fall down again. They fall down again. Yen ye ranandakshas vimukta maninas twayasta bhavad abhishuddha buddhaya arura krishrena parampadam tata patanchido nadrita yushmad angrayaha. This is a verse spoken by Lord Brahma in the beginning of the second chapter of the 10th canto. And he says that those impersonalists, that they imagine themselves to be liberated, is just some mental phenomenon really. And because they have avishuddha buddhaya, impure intelligence, they don't understand that the only real solution in life is devotional service to the Lord. So So because of their impure intelligence, they're not able to see that, and they're just dreaming of liberation, or even they may achieve it, but in due course, patantyada, they fall down again. Because they have no regard for your lotus feet. This is what Lord Brahma says. And this is also what this verse and purport is saying very clearly. So in Bhagavad Gita, there's one verse which I will just look up. I'll just look up that verse. Excuse me. It is, I think, 5:22 from Bhagavad Gita. Yeah, that's it. Well done. That's very good. Yes. That's, oops, reverse chapter. That give us the translation. What's the translation of that? Those who are in, something like, those who are intelligent, they do not take shelter of the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end. And therefore, what is it? Like the intelligent people or something, do not indulge in them, you could say, yeah, basically. Do you get the idea there? Yes. That intelligent people do not engage in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. Such pleasures have a beginning and an end. So, in other words, devotees, here we are, being intelligent, they understand that sense gratification does not lead to satisfaction. Sense gratification leads to frustration because we are spiritual. We are not material. An intelligent person does not take part in the sources of misery which are due to contact with the material senses. O son of Kunti, such pleasures have a beginning and an end, and so the wise man does not delight in them. This is a very important verse in Bhagavad Gita because it's very important for our progress in devotional service to lose our faith in material life. Actually, we still have less, but still to some degree, we still have some faith in material existence. And this process, the process of material existence, which we read about in the verse and purport from the first canto, we still have some faith in it. And this is proved by the fact that from time to time, however often it may be, our minds start contemplating some sort of material enjoyment. And on the other hand, our minds sometimes do not want to really absorb themselves in Krishna consciousness, in hearing and chanting or reading the books or engaging in service sometimes some other idea arises. So it's very important then, as devotees, to get this point and to really be as clear as possible in the understanding that the whole process of sense gratification of material life will not and cannot provide us with what we're looking for. We're looking for real happiness, eternal bliss, free from anxiety, free from difficulty, the pains and the problems which are there in material existence. Krishna consciousness, the process of devotional service, can give us this. And even we have all experienced that to some degree. And we've also experienced to some degree the hopelessness of material life. But our faith in Krishna consciousness needs to be cultivated further. And our faith in material existence needs to be reduced and actually eliminated. So that is the principle or the theory or that is the idea. But to get to the point of just the idea, to the point of full realization, that's a different thing. That's a different thing. Just like none of you may be aware of this, or maybe you are, I don't know, but maybe not. In the Bible, we normally don't bother much with the Bible because it's shallow. It's really very shallow most of the time. It's got some interesting points, of course, but there's a real lack of depth and substance to it. But in the Bible, there's the story of Sodom and Gomorrah. Are you familiar with that? You weren't brought up a Christian. Okay. Yeah. You didn't miss much. Don't worry. So in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah, it's a bit crazy in many ways, but there's also an interesting point. There was this city, and it was extremely degraded. It was just like the capital of degradation, sense gratification, and they were just doing all nonsense fully. It was really Kali Yuga to the maximum. And according to the story, God decided to destroy it. So everyone was warned, get out. But when you're getting out, don't look back. If you look back as you're getting out, while it's being destroyed, you will turn into a pillar of salt. So these two people, I think their names were Sodom and Gomorrah. Anyway, these two people, they were going. And one of them turned around as the city was being destroyed and turned around and looked at it, and that person turned into a pillar of salt. And the other one didn't and escaped. So our situation is something like that. We're escaping. We're escaping from the horrors of Kali Yuga. But we must not look back. Or in other words, think, is there something that I could really do there? If I become more expert, could I somehow become successful? Don't look back. Keep looking forward to the lotus feet of Krishna, because we don't want you to turn into a pillar of salt, or in other words, fall down back into material existence. So it's a very important part of Krishna consciousness that, of course, we have to cultivate attachment for Krishna, and that's the main thing. But we also have to get realization and increase our realization about the frailties, weaknesses, and ultimately the hopelessness of the whole process of material life. And therefore Srila Prabhupada preached so much. We just read in the purport, Prabhupada was preaching so strongly, pointing out what's wrong with material politics, what's wrong with materialistic religion. Prabhupada was pointing it out so clearly. So that also has to be learned. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that our process, our progress in Krishna consciousness, it is something like a train moving towards the destination on two rails. So the one rail is the rail of attachment for Krishna, increasing our attachment for Krishna. But Prabhupada makes the point that there has to be two rails, and the second rail is the rail of becoming detached from material existence, losing our attachment, our faith in material existence, and giving up material existence. Both have to be there, because a train cannot run on one rail. At least historically, generally, trains need two rails. You know, maybe now they've got single rail trains, but for the sake of the example, we can understand the point quite clearly. Yes. And Prabhupada makes the point, if we simply try to become attached to Krishna, and we don't become free of our attractions to material life, then what Prabhupada says is, then you will tend to become a sahajya. You understand the term sahajya? Sahajya? Sahajya means a person who's trying to be Krishna conscious, but at the same time, he's trying to include material activity, like serious material activity, in his, as part of his Krishna consciousness. And the classic example is that the person thinks that I will be Krishna and my girlfriend will be Radha, and as Krishna had the rasa dance, we will have our rasa dance, etc., etc. This is sahajya. They're introducing a very materialistic concept into Krishna consciousness as if it is part of Krishna consciousness. But it's not. It's material. On the other hand, if someone is simply becoming detached without developing attachment for Krishna, then they become impersonalists, mayavadis, like that. Just not this, not that. And they give up personal relationships, they give up activities, and they think that they're going to merge into Brahman. So, but in the process of becoming detached, they also become detached from Krishna. And they think, oh, look at the deities. See how they're dressed very nicely. It is sense gratification. We look at them and we think, oh, how beautiful. It's just another type of sense gratification. And then we have kirtan, we sing. But it's just another type of singing. Nice tune and some song. It's just another type of sense gratification singing. And we offer food to the deity. We have the prasadam. The devotees have the prasadam. And the prasadam is nice. but it's just another type of sense gratification. And we have nice relationships with devotees in Krishna consciousness. But it's just another type of relationship, like in material life. It's just another type of relationship. It's just sense gratification. So they become so detached, they become detached from Krishna. So therefore, what we need, and this is what is being described here in the second chapter of the first canto, to solve the problems of life, to get free, to really get free from this world, and really develop our relationship with Krishna, perfect our lives, and go back to Godhead, we need to follow the process of devotional service properly. Properly. Then we can become detached. Then we can become attached to Krishna. And in this way, we can get out of material existence and be very happy in devotional service. So this is why we have come here to Singapore, at least all you Malaysians. And I am an adopted Malaysian for the time being. We've come here not to just relax, but we've come here to cultivate our Krishna consciousness in a nice environment, that's fine. But we've come here really for Krishna consciousness. Now we have some extra time. We don't have to work today. We can do some extra chanting and serving, and in the evening attend the program, chant Hare Krishna, and be happy. And be very happy. Extremely happy. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki. Okay, let us carry on with our day's activities. So, someone will get breakfast together?
Yeah, it's done. It's ready. I just have to finish.